Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to episode 5 of the Road to Change podcast. My name is Matty, and this is a 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. And with me on the Road to Change is Stego MacGyver.
Stego, always here.
And as we're still in Romania, I'm here with Uncle Mojo.
Yeah, hello, I'm still here.
So, how are you boys? Are you alright?
Oh, it's grand now. Sun. Mm-hmm. 15 degrees.
T-shirt weather.
Yeah.
I know. That happened this morning. So, yeah. So where are we? Where are we?
I can't remember the name of the town, but it's near Zam.
Somewhere.
We're near Zam. So yeah. We're nearly halfway to Bucharest. We've been in Romania all this week.
Yeah. I think it's a week and a half.
No. Was on the other day.
Because on Monday...
Oh, yeah, but I meant on the road. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've still got another 2 weeks till we're going to hit Bucharest. So what do you think of Romania so far?
It doesn't look like it's finished yet.
We're still working on it.
Yeah, a lot of buildings have just abandoned it.
It's obviously been hit by the recession pretty bad. There's a lot of half-built buildings.
But a lot of dogs. Stray dogs.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. I mean, it's very...
Transylvanian.
Very Transylvanian, yeah. Tim Burton would like this place. I mean, it's funny because the light changes it quite a lot. Sometimes it looks really Twin Peaksy because all these little villages are in between the mountains and the mountains are covered with forests.
Well, that kind of, like, north of Scotland, the kind of brown colour of the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
But the buildings are so eastern, you know?
Yeah.
Very old.
It's weird walking through the little towns because if you can imagine, like, in the middle of the town, there's the main road. Either side of the road is a massive ditch, and then beyond the ditch, either side is the houses. And they're kind of... It's weird, because the houses all have the wall against the street, and there's no gardens. There's just a little path, and then the wall. And in between the houses is a high fence or a high wall. So as you walk through the town, all you see either side of you is just this big face of houses and gates, and that's it. You know, it kind of... It's weird. It makes you feel like... You should keep yourself to yourself and not speak to each other. I was thinking about that, you know, because we're walking here to stop the silence, and I was wondering how much does the architecture of where you live can influence your behaviour? Because the way these towns look, it looks like people want to keep themselves to themselves and not speak to their community, not speak to each other. And it feels pretty much like, you know, I haven't felt such like an alien until I got to Romania. I really feel like I'm so far away from home when I'm here. But having said that, the people when I encounter them are really friendly, you know. Yeah. As soon as we crossed the border, they were trying to sell us furniture.
Yeah, and we also had a guy who sells a Samsung phone.
Some CDs.
Yeah,
so the people are lovely. The only problem is the dogs, really. Yeah. And, I mean, there's a constant...
It feels safer than I imagined it to.
Yeah.
Like, when you go for a walk, then it feels safe enough as long as there's not dogs in it.
It's so beautiful. I mean, it's the weird thing is because obviously it's Eastern Europe, and it does feel like Europe because the grass and the hills look like Europe, but the actual buildings look so Eastern. So it's perfectly named as for what it is. It's Eastern Europe. So yeah, but sometimes it looks totally Rocky Horror. Do you know what I mean? You've got Meatloaf cutting about in his Harley.
You notice there's not many young people.
Yeah,
you see the odd child and the odd teenager, but it's mostly. Adults.
There was one, I know, well, it's Saturday now, we've been walking mostly during school time, during the daylight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I saw more today, but walked into that town a few days ago and a wee boy saw me and then he ran ahead and knocked on a door and then this family came out and looked at me and then he did that all the way through the length of the town. He just got in everyone to come out and look at the weird guy in the skirt, which is kind of nice. So bless him.
That's right, you would have done it, as he.
That's exactly what I would have done. Check out this weirdo. Come see him quick, everyone. Yeah. But it's not. I've not felt threatened at all. Like, I was kind of wondering, as people keep saying Eastern Europe's kind of scary, but it's really not. The people are lovely.
Mm-hmm.
They're just very quiet, and obviously I don't even know how to say hello yet. So if you're listening to this and you know how to say hello in Romanian, please answer us in a postcard. So what have we been doing this week, guys?
Taking up the van more, getting rid of some junk.
Yep. So cleaned out the cupboards. Got rid of the heater now.
Yeah.
And that's gone.
We've had a heater in the van since Lithuania. Yeah. Since the past, how many countries? I don't know.
6, 7, something.
It was fine. A bit faulty. So.
It was a bit dodgy, yeah.
So I had to go.
Risk of death.
Yeah.
Yeah, by gas explosion.
It seemed warm enough even at night.
Yeah.
The sleeping bags are good. They're quite warm.
I only have to sleep in one sleeping bag.
Yeah.
I'm fine with
Yeah, it was definitely spring here, which is amazing because like the winter that we hit was only for about a week in Vienna.
Yeah, we had that snowstorm, and then it was quite cold in Vienna, and then we had some snow in Bratislava.
And it was funny because I met some NGOs in Vienna, and they were saying, "Why did you choose to be in Austria now? It's so cold." But I was like, "It's only -5 because by that point in Sweden it was like -40 or something ridiculous." And I'd been in Sweden, you know, 3 months ago. So yeah, so it's working out pretty well for weather, thank God. Yeah. We're pushing forward slowly but surely. You guys have got this place in ship-shape condition, and I'm still walking. Yeah. How are you feeling, Stiggle? You recovered?
I'm all good actually. I finished. I think I have one dose of my medicine left, and I feel great. And I even went out for a walk today with Mojo.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, yeah, nice. You definitely got a nicer colour, but you,
yeah.
So we should post some pictures of you just to prove that.
Yeah.
Mojo, what have you been doing? You've not stopped either.
Yeah.
Scran, a lot of good
scran. Oh, yeah, making nice food.
I know.
We stopped for your birthday last week and we had curry.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked.
We had fried chicken and we had kebabs.
Yeah, we had a food fest on my birthday and a drinking fest. It was really good.
Yeah.
We and I found lentils today, the court.
I don't know, lentils.
Red lentils in the tub. I didn't. Because remember we couldn't get them in Belgium and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the ones I bought. But I can make some good soups this week.
That's the weirdest food cupboard in the whole world. Yeah, if you look at the labels and stuff, there's some stuff still from France.
A kind of beans from Estonia.
Estonian beans, yeah.
There's a jar of, is that sweet pickle?
Yeah, that'll be Poland. Yeah,
it's Marina, yeah.
And there's some Mexican stuff that the lady in Lithuania bought us, Rasa.
And we found the wine.
I bought the wine from Poland, so it's the most international food cupboard ever, really.
And drinks. Privileged. There's a few drinks as well. Yeah. That grappa still there.
That grappa? Well, the grappa was in the van when we bought her. Yeah. I think it's... What is it, Italian?
It was full. I guess about half full now.
Is it?
I've not but it is strong it. Stuff.
So this is our Saturday night. We're going to record a wee podcast. Yeah. I'm going to write some blogs, and we're still walking tomorrow, so... And then on Monday we'll rest, which will be good. Mm-hmm. It's pretty... I mean, it's... The problem is I get so... Well, we all don't get a shower all week, but I get pretty sweaty every single day, and then I just, get out the baby wipes and then we hope all bad.
Antiseptic wipes.
So a couple of people very kindly have donated like a night in a hotel for us, so once a week we get to actually have a shower and sleep in a real bed, which is usually on a Monday night. So I think this week Gail Anderson, her company, I need to get the name of them, have donated a hotel, but... it's quite a cheap country for accommodation, so if anyone's listening and would like to help us out, you can get in touch and donate one night in a hotel so me and the guys can get a shower. We really appreciate it. It's it really helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really helps us, with the morale if people aren't totally stinking.
It's only your feet.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that thing. What do you want me to do? Walking across Europe. Yeah, but we do have lots of socks. Like, my dad sent me so many pairs.
Yeah, there's still loads of clean ones.
So many people have donated socks through the website, bless them. But so last week we were chatting, Mojo, about when we started the Road to Change.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about how we got set off from London. It took us, remember, it was 3 days to walk 65 miles from London to New Haven. What's your memories of those first week?
I dropped Pam at the airport and then I got to... I was supposed to get to you about, was it 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock? God, it was dark, I knew it was about 9:30.
Yeah.
But you had found, I think it was Salford or something, the name of the wee town was.
That's right,
something like that.
South of Croydon. So yeah. 25 miles to the South Bank, south.
It was. It was near Gatwick.
Mm-hmm.
Met you there, and I think you just went and sat in the pub.
That's right, it was the harvester,
And
the manager, Miles, his name was, we let us park the first night Road to Change. We parked in his car park in the morning, where he gave us free breakfast.
Yeah, that was nice.
And we tweeted a picture of me and him, and I looked at that the other day. I've lost 2.5 stone since then. It's crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy to look back. That was the first bit. I mean, I'd intentionally put on weight, but I didn't realise how quickly I'd lose it again.
And then we set off from there. We stayed in a campsite, didn't we? That was the first night in a campsite.
Yeah, that was the second night.
Well, they gave us £2 back. Is it for charity?
They gave us £2 off the campsite for charity. Sorry, you can hear a truck outside. We're parked at some sort of random truck stop here in the middle of nowhere.
That was quite nice. It was just a big field. We had power. That's when we first realised that we were getting electrocuted if you touched the van when it was plugged in.
That's right, yeah.
And
then one more day...
We got clothes washed. They let us wash our clothes. That was quite nice.
One more day, we ended up in New Haven, and... we had the first Road to Change kind of event. We had organised a screening of To Kill a Kelpie in the town hall, and it was hysterical because the mayor turned up, and that was it. Basically,
one mayor and the caretaker.
The caretaker of the building who set up the screen, and then the mayor turned up, and that was it to watch the movie.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, this is good because, you know, we can only get better from here, hopefully.
Yeah. But you were in the newspaper.
I was in the local news. Yeah.
And get pictures taken.
And then what happened, Mojo? We tried to go on the boat. Do you remember?
Yeah, we arrived at the port and handed over the passports, only to discover I had the wrong passport with me.
That's right. Because the staff at New Haven Port had been so kind, they specially arranged for me to walk onto the boat, because foot passengers normally have to get on a shuttle bus and get driven 500 metres. So they got a security guy who was going to walk me from, you know, the waiting area onto the boat, and we were all ready to go. And then we had to show our passports, and Morris had his girlfriend's passport. So his passport was
in Glasgow,
400 miles away.
Yeah.
So that meant, how did we work it out? I went on the boat the next day, and you waited till the following day.
Well, it was going to be, what was it, 1,400 for a courier to bring it straight down?
£1,400 to get it
and
down.
And then I looked at Royal Mail, and it was £15 to get it sent next day, but it couldn't be posted till the following day.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I worked out, if you go ahead and walk, and I arrange a bed and breakfast for you, and I would stay the extra day, get it sent to the port, and that's what we did.
Yeah, the ladies at the port were so kind. I was signing autographs for their grandchildren, because they obviously watch CBeebies, and they were really upset for us. They were phoning France, saying, can they not just come without their passports? You know, they seem like lovely men.
Well, I have my driver's licence, so they were going to let us in.
Yeah.
But they asked us how long the trip was going to be. And Matthew said 18 months, and they said no chance.
No. Yeah, I won't be back this year.
Or 20 months.
So, so that was crazy. So I remember I walked onto the boat in England, and I walked off the boat in France, and I walked about, because I couldn't get there till 3 o'clock that day, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked 30 kilometres, and I stopped in a lovely wee guest house. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was called 23 Grand Rue.
That's it, yeah.
That was it. And it was a wee expat English couple, and the guest house was shut that day, but they opened it up and they gave me a whole night for free, and in the morning it was free breakfast just because of the Road to Change. And I remember thinking that this kind of, obviously we'd had the Harvester give us free breakfast already, and I thought this is maybe just going to keep happening. People are just going to be extremely kind.
And between, it was near Crawley, I think, where I stopped, and someone, I think it was a cyclist or walker, stopped and gave you money.
That's right.
As well, just by the road.
Yeah, because where I walked all the way through France from the Dieppe to Paris was basically, it's called the Greenway. It's an old railway line that's now been converted into a kind of beautiful cycle path from London to Paris. So that's pretty much the whole way I walked. And obviously, because it was summertime, I kept getting passed by English people cycling. And most of them asked me what I was doing. When I explained, they just literally handed me cash, which was smashing. So we ended up raising about €100 just walking down that
That's
road.
Right, yeah.
But it's weird, if you read the blog at that time, that railway, the old railway line I was walking down 50 years ago, was the same railway that my dad went down when he used to go on his holidays with his pals to Barcelona. Yeah, they used to get the train all the way to
Spain. Yeah, my brother told me.
And I don't imagine it's changed much. But it was funny thinking back, because I remember being really scared, because I'd flown over France so many times, but I'd never actually, you know, walked through that part. And I didn't know what to expect. And now that I'm kind of in Eastern Europe, I'm looking back going, God, what was I worried about?
Yeah, that seems like hope.
You know, so it's, every time I step over the border into a new country, I kind of have a bit of anxiety until I realise that the place is totally safe and everyone's lovely. But, you know, every country has this thing of warning you about the next country. Every country does this. Yeah. They go, oh, just be really careful. And then you find that the country you're walking to is lovelier than last, you know. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Took us about a week walk through France. It was all kind of,
yeah, it was kind of uneventful. Seems a nice scenery.
Yeah, you lost your iPod at one point, went down a drain. You had to invent a tool to get it back.
Yeah.
But so smashing Ostie, and then we reached Paris, which was the first major city on the Road to Change that I was walking to. Saw the Eiffel Tower, obviously.
Yeah.
Went around speaking to tourists. We had flyers in French and English, and I met hundreds of people just chatting to them about it. A lot of American tourists, I remember. And then I met Humaira Sellier. She's the president of Innocence in Danger. And they're one of the four kind of partners of Road to Change. And do you remember that night, Mojo, in that hotel where we had a meeting with Humaira?
Yeah.
and Mojo drank, was it 40 euros worth of beer, which was only two or
three bottles.
Three bottles of beer.
14 euros for a Peroni.
It was the fanciest hotel I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And I ate snails.
Did I eat snails?
Yeah. Well, you think, you know, you're in Paris, you're in a fancy hotel, someone else is paying for it, eat snails.
She had those pea pod things and she kept offering them to us.
Edamame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to pop them open and eat the peas. I just started chewing them. And I tried to swallow the bit and chewed off and it got stuck in my throat.
So we met Homera and Innocence in Danger have been an incredible support of the project. They have they have eight offices all around the world. And especially when I got to Berlin, the office there gave me loads of contacts for Finland and Denmark, loads of other countries. So you should. I'm going to post some more links to Innocence and Danger stuff.
This she incredible. Was really nice.
She was wonderful. Yeah. And Homera, actually, Dr. Pine Skyped with Homera today, so she's going to be helping us out in the next few countries, getting us contacts with NGOs. And I also met in Paris, I met the director of Blue Angel organisation. Do you remember Latifa Barani?
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, my friend Fred had to come and translate, and Fred's an actor, he speaks English and French.
Yeah, he was great.
And it was funny because I hadn't quite warned Fred what we're going to be talking about, but she runs an organisation, she works with people who are attracted to children, and she kind of gives them counselling and therapy and helps them steer their attraction towards healthier, you know, I don't know how she does it, to be honest, but she helps prevent people becoming child sex offenders. It's very brave and compassionate work, and I've not seen anything else like it in any other country since. But Fred came along and he was trying to translate, and it was funny, at one point he said paedophiling, which is not a word. He was just, his head was totally chewed trying to talk about this issue in two languages. Blue Angel, check them out, they're an incredible organisation based in Paris. They have a documentary about their work, and every time it's shown, she says that she doesn't even know when it's going to be on, but she can tell by her email inbox, because hundreds of people from all over France, and even Quebec, any French-speaking country that sees this documentary gets in touch. And these people who are attracted to children, they don't, not all of them want to harm children, a lot of them want to get help and want to try and understand that attraction and why it happens. So she's doing that brave work, and I'd love to see that work spread throughout the world, because obviously there's a real need for it. So Paris was uneventful in the press. The press weren't interested yet. We couldn't get them interested. It wasn't until Luxembourg that really kicked off. But
Fred took us a nice tour. Fred and his girlfriend.
That's right.
With Montmartre.
Montmartre, where they filmed Emily.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting week for me. And at that point I was still doing a lot of the setup for the project, even though we were on the road already. We were still designing the way we were going to approach governments and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like I expected it to, the road to change really kind of built momentum as it kept going. So next week we'll talk about what happened in Luxembourg, because that, for me, that's really where it kicked off. But yeah, boys, he's good. He's feeling all right.
Yep, soon.
Yeah, good.
Mojo's gonna cook some scratch soon, so
yeah,
I'm all good.
You eating kebabs, Mojo?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's shouting at me for looking skinny, so just you know, need to go on that.
Yeah.
But I haven't felt this tired since Christmas. I'm pretty knackered. This country, it's just the biggest country.
Yeah.
You know, was it Budapest to Bucharest is the longest walk that I've done so far that I have to do on the road to change. It's not the longest one of the whole project, because it's pretty far from Zagreb to Geneva. But this is pretty long. But we'll get there.
We'll get there.
No, we will get there. We'll get there, and we'll get there on time, as always.
Yeah. So we'll be a few days early this time too.
Yeah. So I asked Facebook if we had any questions for the podcast. Do you want to read these out, Stego?
Oh yeah. I miss.
Right, I haven't read these yet, so tell us what they are.
Oh, yeah.
There's loads of them.
Oh, wow. Ah, Granny Wendy. How is Stigo keeping now? I'm all good. Thanks for asking.
Hi, Granny Wendy.
Could you also please mention my walk to help raise funds for youth? It's on Saturday, the 22nd of March, at Lochor Meadows Country Park at 11 a.m. Anyone is welcome to come and join in, or just come and donate on the day.
Right, so it's the 26th of March. Do you want
22nd.
22nd of March. Yeah. Sorry, right. So it's Saturday, 22nd of March, Lochora Meadows Country Park, 11 a.m. Am I saying that right? Lochora Meadows, Mojo?
Never heard of it.
So go along, check that out. Granny Wendy's a wonderful supporter of the Road to Change, and she's putting together an event. So just get along there, have some fun, folks. What else have we got?
Iona Smilly, can you sing us a song? I'm missing your voice. Sorry, that's a bit selfish. How can we send you stuff?
I'm sorry, he just called you Smilly. It's Iona Smiley. So you've got a Swedish person reading the questions.
Two L's, so I mean,
Smiley. So let me sing a song for Iona. I don't know any Romanian songs. Do you know anyone? Let me see. Oh, I know a Russian one. I know we're not in Russia, but they're kind of at war with the country beside us right now. So, Rastvietali yabloni groshi poplili tumani nadrekoi. We hold. I'm going to kill myself. Anyway, this is a wee Russian song for you. Right. You're reading all the questions. Go from the top.
Okay. Sanjay.
Oh, Sanjay, hi. Congratulations, Sanjay. I think he's just been.
Yeah, you got.
He's become the president. He's become president. Oh, well done. So well done, Sanjay. Yeah, awesome.
What country has been the toughest and which has been the most supportive?
What's been the toughest?
Depends on what you mean.
It depends. It's tough in different ways. Like, some countries are tough to get media coverage. Like, Latvia was really tough to get any sort of media coverage, but it was wonderful for the NGOs. And we met loads of people. And Austria was really tough to meet the government, but it was incredible for, like, we were on TV and newspapers and stuff. I think Romania is pretty tough in the natural terrain because we've got scary dogs everywhere and it's the longest country, you know. But every country's tough in a different way, but... What one's been the most supportive? Again, that depends on what you mean. I think everywhere in Poland we met lovely, lovely people and they were so supportive. But I can't say that it was more supportive than other countries because I made incredible, lovely friends in Luxembourg who were really supportive. And God, yeah, I think every country's just shown its loveliness every time we turn up. So.
Absolutely. It's been great.
Yeah, so sorry that's a rubbish answer, Sanjay, but every country's been hard and every country's been lovely.
Yeah. Janet Stewart. What gives you the strength to keep going?
What gives me the strength to keep going? It's a no-brainer because, you know, we see that Road to Change is actually, in some small ways, in some countries, making a difference. And that's kind of priceless. You know, we managed to get, you know, a couple of governments to discuss change, some of them very quickly. I get emails from people all the time telling me how Road to Change has inspired them to take a step forward in their healing, to reach out to counsellors or speak to their families, or sometimes to identify as a survivor professionally and stuff like that. So these are all small individual cases, but they're right across the continent and they all add up. So, you know, when we realise that it is having an impact, then you just keep going. And remember that, you know, it is happening every 30 seconds. More victims are created every 30 seconds. Child sexual abuse is happening in this country tonight and in the country where you're listening to this. So if we keep walking in some way, we'll hopefully make some kind of difference.
Yep. Donna McLachlan.
Sorry, Donna, you're Swedish.
people are worrying about how thin you are. What's your calorie intake? And more important, what's your favourite calories?
Oh, I know everyone's worried about how skinny I'm getting. Don't look, it's just by comparison. I used to be very cuddly, so she's on it, just don't worry. I'm supposed to have 5,000 calories a day. I mean, we don't really keep exact, we don't weigh things and work out the calorie, but I do eat probably twice as much calories than your average person.
Especially when Mojo's here.
Yeah, especially when Mojo's here. So, my favourite calories, it's all Scottish stuff that you can't get here.
Yeah. I was going to say all Mojo's gran.
All Mojo's food is my favourite calories, no matter what that entails.
Absolutely. you also forgot to reply to how can we send you stuff.
How can they send me stuff?
Yes. Iona Smiley.
Smiley. Yeah, sorry, Iona. You can send me stuff if you wish. We have a kind of small list of supplies on roadtochange.eu/supplies. Is that right? Supplies?
Mm-hmm. Supplies.
You'll see a list of kind of small practical items that we need for the walk. Pretty much it's hard to get to send stuff to us directly because we're constantly moving. But if you email through the website, that will get in touch with Mojo and we'll work out if there's something you're trying to send, how we can get that to us. Bless you. Thank you so very much.
Chris Shields.
Chris Shields. Cool.
After a good rest, what's the first thing you're going to do once you get back?
Hi, Chris. I haven't seen Chris in 10 years, I don't think. What's the first thing I do when I get back? Well,
Scottish food.
Scottish food. No, I think if individual parliaments and governments don't implement the change we're asking for as we walk around, there is a kind of plan B, which is to go to the European Parliament, launch an initiative, and then collect a million signatures, and then ask the European Commission to try and, you know, because it's a human rights issue. The statute of limitations upholds the rights of the criminal over the victim, and a number of countries have abolished it and reformed it, and a number of them haven't. But in the EU, I think, you know, when it comes to child protection, we should have, you know, we shouldn't have children that are not protected by the same rights just because they're a couple of miles apart, you know. So after a good rest, I think we'll come at it again for another angle. See if we can
get a change. We need to go to Iceland.
No, we need to go to Iceland as well.
Yeah. Lindsay Bryce, what goes through your mind when you're doing all of that walking?
I just think of you, Lindsay. Lindsay Bryce. Lindsay, I haven't seen you in, God, 10 years as well. What goes through my mind, it's kind of weird, guys, because if you imagine, you know those things you have to do for your driving theory test? Is it hazard perception videos?
Yeah.
Imagine watching that for 8 to 10 hours a day. Yeah. I'm just looking ahead at a road that's constantly changing. So if you stood on a treadmill for 10 hours and in front of you was a screen where it's that hazard perception, and then you get your friend to throw a bucket of water over you a couple of times and then get a dog to bark at you every 5 minutes, that's pretty much my life. So yeah. I don't think of an awful lot. I think of
It's not always like before this in Hungary there was psychopaths.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to watch it for as much then.
Yeah. So I daydream, I guess, about... sometimes I think about what we're going to say in this podcast. Not that it's rehearsed, but I think what we're going to chat about this week.
Yeah.
But I kind of, you know, I think back to the last country we've been at, and if it's been successful, I think, how did we do that? How can we repeat that? How can we try and make sure that approach happens again and stuff? So, it's kind of, there's not one specific thing I think about. But, as you can tell, my brain is kind of empty tonight. I'm so tired.
That's all of them.
That's all the questions.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, just another one telling about the Granny Wendy's walk.
Yep, Granny Wendy's walk.
Is that March for March?
No, one was cancelled, sadly. Oh. But a big thank you to Shirley and Alan, who arranged the Road to Change concert in Hartley on Saturday night. They raised a few hundred quid for us, which is going to keep us walking, hopefully all the way to Sofia by that point. Thank you so much, guys. Anyone who puts on any kind of event for us is wonderful, because if you can imagine, we're out here in the middle of nowhere somewhere in Europe. We're trying to speak to the press and the media, and we're raising awareness. And in some countries, we've had the BBC scandal, the Catholic Church scandal. You know, so in some places, the first time the public are really hearing these words and getting this information that, you know, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they're 18 in these countries. And that's really, really new information. So that first thing of just getting the awareness out there is really important. And having said that, you know, we're doing this on no budget, so... we don't ask for much. We ask for a shower once a week. We ask for enough food, yeah. So I don't get any skinnier.
And petrol.
Petrol, and occasionally we need gas food to get the cooker working, but that's pretty much it.
That's
we're reaching governments, we're reaching millions of people, and we don't need an awful lot, but these fundraising projects that people do not only raise money, but they get to tell people about the project, and then, you know, that raises more awareness just by the actual process of putting on a fundraiser. More and more people hear about Road to Change, which is what it's all about.
Yep.
So, have we got a Neiluk of the Week? This is nearly half an hour long. I think I'm Neiluk of the Week. I just lost my sunglasses. Yeah.
I just got back to look for them.
About 2 hours ago, I just came around a corner and there was a big scary dog which decided to chase me, and I just decided to run because I thought I'm too tired to deal with this one. So
that must have looked mental.
I know. So I was
man on a kilt running.
Man on a kilt running from a rabid dog. And then by the time I stopped running, I looked back and I realised I'd lost my sunglasses at some point. So we drove back and looked, but they're gone. So
they were from my mum. And so happy birthday to my mum.
Happy birthday, Stiggles.
She's
mum.
They're turning 42 today.
Is she? Okay. She'll love you for that, Stiggles. Yeah. She doesn't look a day over 21.
Nah.
But so smashing up. Any final words, Mojo?
Just to thank people for their support and to say that I'm going to be back in the UK in a couple of weeks, and if anyone needs help with running events, I can run about for you. I've got a car and I know a few other people. So if you have an idea for an event but you don't have the support, do give me a shout. My email's on the website.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Well, I just want to thank everyone, and yeah, it's that's all. Thank
that's
you.
All this thing was to say. I'll see this week. My best friend Tommy lost his wee mum after a long battle with Alzheimer's, and so we're thinking of you, Tommy, and Irene and Jeff and all the Waynes. So we hope you're okay. And finally, just to say that the Road to Change is an event organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. If you want to support us, go to roadtochange.eu, and there's a big donate button, and you can read all about what we've been up to over the past, how many months?
Something like that.
A long time.
I've been out for 6 months now, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.